Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Matthew, we are in the 24th chapter. I truly hope you were with us last Sunday as we began the fifth discourse of Jesus. We are continuing in that. This is Jesus' sermon on last days. It's Jesus' eschatology. It's Jesus is telling us what's going to happen. And if anybody knows, it is Jesus. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to begin in the 15th verse. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is on the in the field not go back to his to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has never been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word and you'd draw us close to Jesus in this time. Father, this is difficult scripture. And yet, Father, I know that you can give a clear understanding, and I pray that you would do exactly that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I said, Jesus is talking about the end times. He's talking about what's going to come. People are really interested in what's going to come. It surprises me sometimes. People are really all about what's going to come, but they're not really crazy about what's going on now and what they need to be doing now. Can I tell you a secret? What's going to come is going to come, and for you to be ready for it, you need to be who you need to be now. Because you don't know when what's going to come is going to come. Jesus spoke of different groups, of what's going to happen in the different groups. Last week we talked about the nations and what's going to happen in the world. And now in verse 15, he shifts and he speaks about the Jews. And you may be sitting here and say, well, I'm not Jewish, so that doesn't apply to me. Listen, all the Bible is for us to learn from. It may not be directed directly to you, but that doesn't mean that it cannot challenge you and change you. And so, in verse 15, he tells about the abomination of desolation. Now, that sounds like a confusing term to you. I understand that. It is a confusing term to many. It comes straight from the book of Daniel. And so Jesus is reaching back into prophecy and he's telling you what prophecy is going to be fulfilled and when. In verse 16, he's talking about those in Judea. He's talking about the Sabbath day on the 17th, and in the 21st, the great tribulation. These verses very definitely have to do with what's going to happen with Israel. I got to tell you, God is not through with Israel. God's got a plan for Israel, and God is going to work in the nation of Israel and through the nation of Israel in days to come. Now, the Bible tells us that for God's children, those of us that are Christians, God's children, that there are always going to be hard days. There will always be times of tribulation and there will be times of struggles. I know there are people out there that tell you if you come to Jesus, everything will just be wonderful and you'll never have another care. Those people are not telling the truth. They're not telling what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that there can be some hard days ahead. In verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, That term afflicted is the verb form of the noun for tribulation. Afflicted, to be afflicted means to have sorrow, and sorrow is a part of this world. You may not be in a period of sorrow now. I hope you're not. But you know what? Times of sorrow come. They come to all of us. The Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust, and sorrow comes on the just and on the unjust, and sorrow at some time will come through your life. In Acts chapter 14, verse 24, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Well, that means that those of us that know Jesus will have some difficult days in our lifetime. It doesn't mean that Jesus can't get us through them, but it means we will have them. How many difficult days will we have? Well, he says much, so there's a lot of them. Let me tell you a secret. There's a lot of difficult days for you if you know Jesus, and there are more difficult days for you if you do not. But there is a difference between the term much tribulation and the great tribulation. When the scripture teaches of the great tribulation, it speaks of a definite period of time. It is a period of 7 years. It is a period that has been set apart, and it's a period that will come near the end. Jeremiah tells of that time in Jeremiah 37. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble relates to the nation of Israel. It is mentioned in verse 21 and again in Revelations 2:22, in Revelation 7:14. It is called the Great Tribulation. This is a definite period of time and a particular reference for the Jewish nation, for the Jewish people. Now, it is going to be the worst time the world has ever seen. I know there have been bad times. I know there are bad times. This is going to be worse. I've heard people say that they think we're in the tribulation period now. They are wrong. And so here we have this time, and in this time, verse 15, there's the big warning sign, the sign of desolation. It is the abomination of desolation. Now, I don't know about you, but most believers perk up a little bit when you get into Bible prophecy, and they like to know things about Bible prophecy. Well, the word abomination means nausea. It is a specific word that speaks of God getting nauseated, of something so vile that it turns the stomach of Almighty God. In the Old Testament, the terminology was used to demonstrate how God thinks about idols. If you've got anything in your life you put in front of Jesus Christ, that is an idol, and it is an abomination, and it sickens God. It means an abandonment. Something's going to happen that's going to cause the nation of Israel to abandon the temple. It's going to cause them to, in fact, run from the temple. The abandonment, the abomination of desolation is prophesied in Daniel 9:27. In the end times, as we get to the end times, Jesus is going to come for his own. That's called the rapture of the church. I believe that happens in Revelation chapter 4. Revelations 4, I'm out of here. I hope you're going with me. After that time, the tribulation will come. Jesus will come for the saved, and then there will arise a one world ruler. He is called the Antichrist. You know, throughout the centuries, people have had an idea about who the Antichrist would be. Nobody knows. They have been wrong time and time again. He will most likely come from a revised Roman Empire, a set of 10 kingdom alliance nations in the area of the Roman Empire. Interestingly enough, the Prime Minister of France, Macron, announced a 10-nation alliance that he is putting together. I'm not saying that's it. It's just interesting that it's out there. The Antichrist will seem to have all the answers. He'll seem to be able to be a person that can work between nations and bring peace, and he will be looked to and looked up to, and he will actually become a one-world ruler. Now, if the temple is going to be something they run from, there has to be a temple. In case you don't know it, there is not one now. If you go to Jerusalem, there is the Temple Mount. The temple is not on the Temple Mount. The Mosque of Omar is on the Temple Mount. And when you think of Jerusalem, you probably have in your mind the picture of the Mosque of Omar. Well, that's not the temple. One of the things that we were told about by our guide when the last time we were in Israel is that there is a group now that is negotiating with Islam to be able to rebuild the temple on the Temple Mount. They believe there is room for them to leave the Mosque of Omar in place and build the temple next to it. Now, I don't know if that will happen or not, but I want you to know that there are groups actively in Israel today planning to rebuild the temple. They have some of the temple implements already set aside. They already have the great menorah that will stand in the temple. And if you go to Israel, they have a menorah on display in a case, but they have one that's golden that is set away, not out in public on display. But all of those things are being put in place. Why are they being put in place? Israel's planning to rebuild the temple. Their full intention is to have the temple in place again, and God lets us know that there will be a time when the temple will stand again, and when the Antichrist comes, he'll be able to make peace in the Middle East, and he will allow the temple to be rebuilt. Now, this period of 7 years, in the beginning, the 3.5 years, the Antichrist will be putting everything together. Boy, he's going to seem like he is the greatest thing since sliced bread. He is going to be absolutely amazing. People are going to be astounded at what he can do and how he can pull people together. In Daniel 9:27, in the middle of those 7 years, there's a peace treaty for 7 years. The Antichrist has set it up. In the middle of those 7 years, the Antichrist himself will break that treaty. He will go into the temple. He will there establish an image of himself, and he will demand that everybody worship him. And they will. People will fall down before him, and people will worship him, and they will put him in a position of being a god. He is Satan incarnate. He is the devil's ambassador. He is the one that is bringing the devil's world together. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and Revelation 13, the Antichrist will push for everyone to worship him or die. Now, this was done in the past. A Gentile ruler named Nebuchadnezzar built an image to himself and demanded that everybody fall down and worship him or die. The Antichrist, on a much bigger scale, will demand the same thing. Jesus predicts that the abomination of desolation is going to be a sign of warning. When this happens, you know the end is very, very close. In verse 16, let those that are in Judea flee to the mountains. Listen, when the Antichrist puts himself up as being a god, get out of Dodge. Flee to the mountains. Get out. Don't waste any time. He says if you are on the rooftop, don't come down off the roof. If you go to Israel, they have flat roofs. Just run across the roofs to get away. Don't waste time going down. If you're in the field, don't go home to get your clothes. There is no time. It is a time of doom and gloom and terror. Get out. And so that warning is very real. There will be devastation. Verse 21, then shall there be great tribulation, and there will that there has never been anything like. This is Israel's final agony. This is Israel going through a great, great attack. The first part of the tribulation will include things that are natural in nature. Jesus has told us there are going to be more and more things like earthquakes and storms and wars and sicknesses. They've always been with us, but there are going to be more and more and more of them. And we are in a season where we're seeing more and more and more of them. And they will increase from here. In Revelation 6 through 19, there will be judgments that will be poured out on the earth. There will be an abomination. The temple will be desecrated. They will be, when the temple is established, the Jews will go back to making sacrifices. They don't believe that the Messiah has come. They put that out of their minds. So they'll go back to a sacrificial world. But when this temple is desecrated and the Antichrist places himself in that first position, he will stop all that and he will just have people praying and bowing down to him. In verse 23, if there be any that say to you, he is the Christ, don't believe it. Verse 24, there will arise false Christs and false prophets. They will show great signs and wonders. That's why people will think that they're true of God, because they'll have signs and wonders. Now, Jesus came and the Messiah would do signs and wonders, and Jesus did signs and wonders. But people that have rejected Jesus now are going to turn to people that do signs and wonders and think, well, that's him. Actually, the world is going to be in such a devastated situation, they're going to be clinging to anybody they can cling to. If people reject God's truth, they will be susceptible to the devil's deceit. And we see that happening today. So when people reject the Messiah, they're going to be easy prey to follow the Antichrist. In Israel, there will be rumors, the Messiah has come. No, it's not the Messiah. That's not the one to follow. So the signs and wonders will be there, and people will follow the signs. We have churches today that make a big deal about signs and wonders. Everybody looking for signs and wonders. You know how God brings people to build the church today? Through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is how God will do it to the end of the age. John 3:16 is enough. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, that's what you need to grow a church. That's what you need to change your life and your heart. You don't need signs and wonders. Jesus really is all we need. The Bible says, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead in a body. And so we just need to surrender everything to Jesus. So Jesus gives warning signs that'll be at the end. He gives waning signs that will be at the end, signs that things are winding up. He shows how it is all going to conclude. Now, he's not really given a chronological order here. He is arranging this around people groups in the human race. And he talks about the end of the tribulation. In verse 27, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shines into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. This is talking about Jesus coming back. This is the second coming. This is not the rapture of the church. That's already happened. This is when Jesus comes with us. We're going to come back with him on this one. And he is going to to rule and reign, and he is going to be the one people bow before, and people are going to really realize who he is. It's going to happen quickly. There's not going to be any time to change now. It's going to happen so fast. In verse 28, wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Battle of Armageddon. When Jesus comes back with his own, he will come back to the battle of the war of Armageddon, which will be over with almost before it starts. And there will be so many deaths and so much blood that the birds will be called down by God to dispose of the carcasses. The carnage will be beyond belief. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. That phrase is very interesting. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. This is the closing of the world. Our world seems very permanent, but our world is not permanent. I have a home in glory land that outshines the sun, and it is permanent. And because I know Jesus, that's where I'm headed. But this world is not. This world is winding down. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Go back to the original language, and the word powers is the word dunamis. Sound like a word to you? Dynamite? That's where we get that word from. Heavens. The word heavens in the original language is the word that comes into English as uranium. The dynamite of uranium shall be shaken. Take your mind to anything? Can you say boom? There will be an ending of tribulation. There will be an awakening of truth. And there shall be, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. This is the coming of Jesus himself, Jesus' second coming. He's going to come. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Why are they going to mourn? Well, they're going to realize what they did to the Messiah. They're going to realize the mistakes they have made, and they will mourn. Jesus came as a lowly baby. He came as the Savior. He will come and take his church out. But this time he is coming as the conqueror. He comes to rule. In Zechariah 12:9, the Bible predicts the nation of Israel will realize what they've done, that they have crucified the Messiah. They will look on him who they've wounded, and they will understand what they've done. The truth will get through to them. They will be sorry, but it will be too late. People who've mocked the Bible will realize that the Bible is true, and I got to tell you, it really is. They will know Jesus is God, that he died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again, and they had a chance to receive him, and they did not. There will be a trumpet. Now, this is a trumpet that draws all the Israelites together that are Christians. Israelites that became Christians during the time of tribulation. So the Israelites and Gentiles who came to Jesus during the during this time of tribulation will come together, and they will be taken to glory. The Bible predicts those that have not heard and understand the gospel will have that chance, and many of those will be saved during the tribulation time. 144,000 Jews will be saved. They'll become evangelists. I don't know if you know any Messianic Jews, but let me tell you, I have found Messianic Jews, that is, Jews who have accepted Jesus as the Messiah, are some of the most evangelistic people I have ever known. 144,000 of them will seek to get the gospel out there during the tribulation. Revelation 7, a great multitude will be in heaven that no man can number, Where did those people come from? Well, those are the people that got saved by these people that were witnessing. In that day of tribulation, if you reject the Antichrist, you'll be killed. If you cling to the Antichrist, you will be doomed. And so we have the waning signs, and then there are the waking signs. And listen, I don't know what you do when you read through these passages. When I read through these passages, they wake me up. They let me realize that our time is short. They make me realize that there are lost people out there and they need to come to Jesus. In verse 32, "Now hear a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near. So likewise, when you see all these things, know it is near, even at the door." The fig tree, again, applies to Israel. The vine applied to Israel. That is, he took the vine out of Egypt. That was, God delivering Egypt from Israel from Egypt. The olive tree represents Israel. He took branches off of them and put new branches on them. And that was Israel. In the future, they will be like a fig tree. And when we start to see Israel get their act together, when we start to see Israel standing, that is a sign that the leaves are on the tree. When the leaves are on the tree, that means summer's coming. But in this case, when you start to see Israel getting their act together, understand, the time is close. Some have thought that in 1948 was the moment of this, because Israel came back to the land, and they got the land in 1948. And so people have thought that it ushered in a very close time. That may be true. I don't know. But I do believe we are in a very close time. Jesus says, when you see that time is dawning, drawing nigh, cling to him. Draw to him. Chapter 21, the fig tree that only had leaves. Remember, we talked about the fig tree that only had leaves, had no fruit, and they were cursed. When Israel came back to the land in 1948, they didn't come back with faith in the Messiah. They came back to Israel. And because they did not come back in faith, they came back under judgment. Verse 34, the coming of the Lord is nigh, it is near. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. But of that day and hour, no man knows, not the angels, no one but my Father. Jesus said, when we get to that fig tree generation, the end is near. And I'm talking about the real end. So God gives signs that he's coming. The Bible speaks of birth pains, and when birth pains show up, a baby's coming, and that's just the reality. And when we start to see these things happening, we should understand that things are in motion, and when things are in motion, we're going to see things like they were in the days of Noah. Well, how were they in the days of Noah? Well, verse 37 says, "As the days of Noah was, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." In the days of Noah, there was perversion and immorality. In our day, there is perversion and immorality. In verse 38, the common things of life, the everyday things, will just continue to go on. Verse 39, they knew not. People aren't thinking about God. They're not thinking about Jesus coming. They're just going through their lives. It's just like God doesn't even exist. People are going to be preoccupied with everyday life. That's what they were in Noah's time. They knew not. God sent a preacher. What was the preacher's name? Noah. That was the preacher's name. And so Noah was the preacher, and he preached. He preached for over 100 years. I know some of you think my sermons last that long. But he preached for over 100 years. They had no time for God, and then the water started falling from the sky. They wanted to get in the ark, but guess what? It was too late. God is saying that's how it's going to be. The preaching is going on now. The gospel is going out on now. People have a chance now. But just like in Noah's time, the rain is going to start falling. The leaves are going to be on the tree, on the fig trees, and we're going to see the signs, and you know, the time is going to run out. Now, days of Noah, there were two groups. There were those that are in Noah's camp. That was pretty much just his family. And then there was Enoch. Remember Enoch? Got to go back to Genesis to pick up Enoch. Before the flood, the Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was not. Enoch is representative of the church. Enoch is a picture of Christians, those of us who know the Lord now. Before the flood, Enoch was walking with God and God took him home. Just came and took him. And you know what? One day, could be today, Jesus is going to come and he's going to take the church out. And those of us that know the Lord will rise to meet him in the air. That's Revelation 4, and we're out of here. The Antichrist will be trying to tell people how all these people disappeared. I don't know what he'll say. Probably COVID. I don't know. I don't know what he'll say happened to him. But they'll come up with an excuse because we're here one day and we're not. And it will happen when people are not thinking about the Lord. It'll happen when people are not thinking about God. Jesus will return. We will rise to meet him in the air and we will ever be with the Lord. We are going before the tribulation comes. Praise Jesus. Now, I believe that because the Bible says of believers, he has not appointed us to the day of wrath. The tribulation is the day of wrath. And the tribulation will unfold. Noah is the other side of that. Noah is Israel. Enoch is the church. Noah is Israel. Enoch, taken out before the flood, Noah went through the flood. Israel will go through the flood. And those that are faithful in God, God will care for. What happened to everybody else? They were swept away in the torment of the flood. So what's Jesus telling us? He's telling us there is a day of judgment. There is an end coming. The Messiah has come. Jesus came. He died for you on Calvary's cross. He was buried for you. He rose again for you. He wants to be in your life. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to have a life of joy and peace. He wants to bless your life and use your life as a witness. But for that to happen, you've got to know him. And there will be a day when your time is up. I don't know when that'll be. Now, it may be up because Jesus comes back and we're gone and you're just left by yourself. It may be up because you just die. Last Monday, I was going to a meeting. I passed three intersections. At three intersections, there were three deadly collisions. I wasn't part of them, didn't cause them, but there were three. One was a motorcycle that had been hit by a truck and was way down the road, and the ambulances were just trying to carry off the people that were left. It was just sad scenes. That was in less than 30 minutes, I went by three of those situations. Now, I don't know whether people died or didn't die. I prayed for everybody at every situation. I'm just telling you, life can change just like that. And if you don't have Jesus when that comes, my friend, you're just like the people headed for the tribulation. Only worse, because the tribulation will end. Hell will not. So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I am pleading with you, come to Jesus. He loves you. He came for you. He wants to save you. And if you're in the believing crowd, you're a believer. Listen, if looking at what Jesus is saying in this fifth discourse doesn't move you toward trying to tell lost people about Jesus, there's something wrong with your spiritual life. We need to get on the Jesus train. We need to try to get people to him. We need to be encouraging them, challenging them, drawing them. Believers, what are you going to do about it? Let's follow Jesus. Let's stand for prayer. Father, right now I ask that you would move within our hearts, move us to decisions that we need to make. Father, in this room are some that have never met Jesus. And yet, Father, your word is true, and there's a challenge to our hearts to obey. And Father, if we don't come to Jesus, there is a judgment that will come. I pray, God, that today that individuals here that would say, I want Jesus. I may not know what that life is like, but I know I want Jesus. Just let them come and say, I want Jesus. Ask God to forgive their sins, to save their souls. And for Christians, oh God, let us be aware that your clock is ticking. These are the days for you to use us to win the lost. I pray that we would be faithful to the task. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come as we sing?